Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Berardi and Coke. We're here for the post-match. Nottingham Forest loss here today. If you have any questions, any comments that you want to get in, obviously use the chat. You will have seen that there's also a link tweeted out there just to, if anyone wants to come on and have a chat, we'll see you in a sec.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
Well, let's get stuck into this Berardi and Coke after that Nottingham Forest loss today. Personally, I think we've a long way to go, regardless of how the January transfer window went. I think we need a tactical change in some form or another. I understand that it's new signings, stuff like that, and you know, people are very much entitled to their opinion, and it's a difficult one to go through tonight. We know that Forest were kind of there and they were on a bit of a run. We have not been on any kind of run at all. And I think personally, myself, with the signings that we made tonight, they were there for the taking. And we simply didn't do that. Our finishing build-up play seems to be lacking quite a bit. There's a lot of people in the comments, you know, just I don't want to be that person or anything like, but, you know, Marcus May says Marsh out now. What are your thoughts on that? Like, because, you know, my thoughts on it so far after being on for the whole time we've been here, my thoughts on Jesse Marsh, he's a lovely fella. Make a great kind of office manager type motivator, but I don't think he has any of the credentials to take this team forward. What are your thoughts on that? I personally think that we need a change at the top. I think the way we're playing at the moment, granted, new players need to be bedded in, new players need to be understanding of how he wants to play. But let's be honest, there's a lot of them players in this team recently that understand how he wants to play, and we're clearly not going about it the way we should go about it. I think defensively we're looking a lot more solid with Ferber in the back. You know, I'm probably saying his name wrong, but, you know, I do think we're a lot more solid at the back. Granted, we did concede today with him in the team, and Jesse has kind of made a point of it. We haven't conceded with him in the team, but at the same time, we did today, and our response to try and to alleviate that conceded goal, it genuinely, to me, it doesn't look like we've got the kind of style of play that we need to score these goals. I don't think that, you know, I genuinely don't think that the style of play that we're currently using at the moment is going to be effective for us moving forward. Now, I understand Paul here. Now he says it's unfortunate, Carol, that Jesse hasn't got the tactical awareness in the first half. We were all over Forrest. Steve Cooper saw the threat of Willie, changed his tactics, and in the second half, well, I don't know if it changed much in the second half, Paul, because in my opinion, our only out ball at the moment seems to be Willie. We genuinely do not have any other out ball at the moment that Jesse seems to be comfortable with when it comes to playing it out from the back. It looks like we're trying to get the ball into a position in midfield, and once we get it to that position, it's straight out to Willie. Willie seems to be our out ball at the moment, and I'm struggling personally just to see what we can do outside of making sure Willie gets the ball. I'm not picking on particular comments here. I'm trying to do my best in between chatting and getting comments up, but Marcus again says, nice guy, but he's not cut out for the job. Unfortunately, that's my opinion as well. I think Jesse is within a position where he can't elevate the team to a certain standard that we seem to need within the team at the moment. And look, that's no slight on him. He has won, you know, leagues and cups or whatever, but they've been in leagues that have been far, far under the level that the Premier League is. And I don't think him coming out saying stuff like I've won cups here, I've won leagues there, is something that we should accept, because as a club, we have a very high standard as to how we should be playing, how we should be enforcing ourselves on this league. And let's be honest, looking at the bottom half of the table, this is probably the weakest and shoddiest Premier League for a very, very long time. You've got teams down the bottom where between us and, well, Forest were on 21 before we played them today. But apart from that, like it's 2-3 points between us and the bottom. And like we're in 17th now. That's simply not good enough. And I'm not going to ring a bell and just be like, oh, Bielsa this or whatever the case may be. We're in the position now that we're in because of how we're playing. This is something that me personally, like there's other lads on the pod that feel that, you know, there's progress there. There's, you know, there's good signs there. And sometimes you can actually see those good signs that, you know, my colleagues on the pod are on about. But when the times where we lose the ball in the middle of the park because of sloppy passing, that's unforgivable for me. And me personally, that shows me that we don't necessarily have any kind of structure to how we're playing once we get it to a certain place in the on the pitch. So what I mean by that is that, look, we get the ball to a certain place, like I said, and people have pointed out there, first ball out the way is Willie. Why not look at something more creative when we have the likes of Adams, Rocca, who can pass a ball? Like we've all seen it. Rocca can pass a ball given the time, given the space. Why is there such an urgency to get the ball out wide to Willie? And then we're just left. As soon as Willie gets it, we come back inside. We're narrow. We're, you know. And I did see the lads. I did see the lads' video on Marsh's tactics on Twitter. It's actually worth a watch. I would highly recommend it. And I totally see what he's saying. He shows a lot of, like, there was that particular picture of the four players stuck in the middle of the park all around each other. We've won the ball back. And he tried to show you where you went from there and why that was actually a good action in the play. And I understand that and I can see that. But at the same time, I'm looking at that going, right, okay, that's us absolutely mashed up right in one spot. And our out ball is either to our centre back or it's into the wing where we're absolutely cramped anyway. So I just feel with the tactics we're using, we need to start utilising the players that we've brought in now. With the McKinney thing, I think having Rocca, Adams and McKinney in the middle of the park, it's as much as that is the way he likes to play. All right, Luke, how's it going?
Evening, mate. Yeah, sorry, mate. I've just been trying to get the girls to sleep. Sorry, I'm so late.
That's okay, man. I was just saying in relation to having the three lads in the middle with McKinney, Rocca and Adams, I feel we're kind of sacrificing an attacking-minded player by having three players in there that aren't, like, one of them, two of them aren't going to be the player that we're going to rely on to bring the attack forward to actually create something. Where, like, I think McKinney, he's undoubtedly he's class, but he's a box player. He's not a creative player that we need in that position. So I think we're sacrificing an attacking minded player to have three players in there, not doing the same job necessarily, but quite similar, if you get me.
Yeah, mate, I think is that, I know there's a lot of it for Jesse at the minute, and some of it warranted, you know, ultimately it's a results-based business, and we need to be picking up more points in these sort of games. But, yeah, I think one of the things that threw me slightly was he brought McKinney on for Rocca, and McKinney openly said that's not really his game, you know, sitting in a double pivot, he likes to get box-to-box. So one of the things that really, really frustrated me was the changes he made were the right changes, but he didn't change anything about the style or formation or anything. It was almost like, oh, I'll just try the same thing we're doing, but with different players, see if it makes it any better, you know? Yeah. And it didn't. It just didn't. One of the ideas I had, I mean, put two up top. They were playing with 11 men behind the ball. Put two players in their fucking penalty box, you know? Play one pivot. They weren't attacking us. Play one pivot. Leave Tyler Adams in front to protect the back four. Play your usual three behind a front two. We're chasing the game. You know, you've got to start. You've got to start fucking taking chances in these games. And then he has the audacity to put fucking Mesley up front from the last corner of the game. Do you know? I mean, if you're chasing the game that much, that you can put a goalkeeper on the goal on, you know, on their goal line from a corner. Why can't you play with two strikers?
It just
really frustrated me. And look, everybody says that I'm a real happy clapper and I'm Jesse and that, and I'm not. I just try and see the positives. And the positives I can take is that we're in control of every game we've played this year. We've been in absolute control, not just control. We've looked like the better team in most games, but we're just not scoring the goals. So something's wrong. And if Jesse isn't getting that out of the players, that's the issue. That's the problem. And it, ultimately, that's his job to get the best out of those players.
Yeah. I found that, like you said there, I'm not disagreeing with anything. Like yourself, I want Jesse to succeed. I want anyone that's associated with Leeds United to succeed, because ultimately it means we're all way happier about where the club are at and whatever. But you made a very good point there that he's not putting the players into positions that are most lethal in the positions we need. He's not doing it. And I think the last place, like we're like you said, we're great. We get to the 18-yard box, we're absolutely savage. We're proper on them the whole time. Once we get to that 18-yard box, we lose all kind of, what the fuck do we do now?
No composure at all.
Nothing.
It's a team playing void of any confidence for me. You know, you look, and there's nobody taking effort and taking shots. It's almost like they're structured into get it wide, get it into the box, shoot from. You can only shoot from a, you know, from the penalty area. There's no. It's the same thing on repeat all the time, and it works. We are controlling games, we are making chances, but it's not working enough to the point where we're actually scoring fucking goals. I find it really, really frustrating. I found it really frustrating today. The first half, I thought we were really, really good and probably unlucky not to go in one or two up. Second half, absolute dog shit, mate. It was like watching League One stuff, kicking it, you know, long, devout of any ideas. One stat I did pick up though, and I know so whoever's seen my tweet earlier on, they'll see this, but it's not a great barometer, but we've outperformed according to XG every team we've played this year. So since New Year's Eve, since Newcastle, every team we've played this year we've outperformed on XG, which would suggest we should be winning more games. We've not won one in the league. You know, there's something wrong. I just don't know. It's just so frustrating, man, as a Leeds fan. And you can see emotions are boiling over online. And I've seen a number of polls now suggesting Jesse, and it's won quite comfortably, Jesse in or out. And, you know, I think the majority of the fan base is now convinced that it is Jesse out time.
You've been a big advocate of like, and I'm not knocking you for it at all. Like I said, I just want Leeds fucking as a whole to do well. But you've been a big advocate for trying to give Jesse the time he needs. But do you think is the time he needed now up after today? This is where this is the result that we needed to get a positive. Like we'd have all said, we're happy with a draw, but we're not really happy with a draw. We should have got a win there. But do you think, is this the game now where Jesse's just, he's literally dragging his arse through the door now at this stage?
Something's got to give, hasn't it? Look, we've got on paper, arguably, probably a 10th to 12th finish in the league squad now. So the squad's not an argument. We've not been riddled with injuries. You know, we've had a relatively fit squad for the majority of the season. And somebody just popped on there. Skip just popped on. Where was it? Skip just put. Okay. Saying this, Luke, about our performances, but we haven't won. No, I'm completely in agreement. You know, I'm not standing here and supporting Jesse Marsh and saying, look, he is the man for the job. I don't believe he's the man to take us forward. My biggest concern and my biggest worry, I think, is bringing a new manager in this stage of the season will go one of two ways. It'll either go really, really badly or it'll resurrect us. But are we going to go down anyway if we don't change it? So it's a chance. It's a roll of the dice we might have to take. I honestly don't know what the answer is, mate, because it's the frustrating thing is that first half, we looked like we probably should have scored three or four. Sinisterra, Nonto, Ailing all had really good chances. But then the second half, to come out and play like that against a team that you know are going to sit back and just try and defend that one goal lead, it's inexcusable, to be honest with you, Cal.
It's criminal to not go and flood their back line at that stage with the players that we have now. Like what you were saying there, Luke Thompson here says, not a single shot on target in the second half. Like, that goes back to your point there. Like, there were a team sitting back and we still didn't have a shot on target. And then there's this other one here from Idle Matt. Our XG, all right, Smarty. Our XG was 0.75. Yeah, that was higher than Forest, but we are not going to win games with XG. And that's a fact, like.
Yeah, I think my argument is it's higher than Forest. So, what my tweet meant was we've got higher XG in every game this year, which 9 times out of 10 should mean you're going to win most of those games. You know, common sense would prevail there, but it's not. And it's not good enough. It isn't good enough. And yeah, ultimately a little bit pissed off. I mean, I'm already rough as toast as it was today, so that performance didn't really cheer me up in any way, shape or form. Just give me, just give me, Just give me anxiety. Yeah, mate, I've just put a little one to sleep.
Is that what you're about to look at when they wake up next to you, is it?
You sound like Darth Vader there.
Yeah,
Yeah. Really, probably your headphone.
I think, mate.
It's bouncing proper. Like. You all need to get some plug-in headphones, man. Those things never fail.
Yeah, they're bad. No, Alison, I haven't. I just went out to watch England lose rugby last night. Got flu at all. It's all self-inflicted. Feel absolutely fine in terms of my health. It's just, just had a few too many sherbets last night with a few old friends. He is the worst coach in the division. Look, I think for me, the frailties and the things that we were struggling with early on in the season, Carl.
Can you hear me though?
Yeah, it still sounds shit, mate. Piss off.
Oh, fuck it. I'm going to pop off. I'm not having this for the second pod in a row, man. I'll see you in a bit.
This time it's different.
You're looking for you to put some more money in me, Carl. Come on, bag some fucking money.
And we are live again. How are you, lads? You all right, Smarty?
Sorry about that.
Don't touch anything. Yeah.
What's pushing my buttons? Not my phone.
Oh, my God. So, thanks for everyone joining back in here. We've had a little technical blunder. It's nobody's fault. the lads were just doing their damnedest to just be in on this chat for tonight. So,
after a performance like that, we all need to say our piece.
Yeah. Well, what were you saying there, Luke, before it all went skew-ways there? What was the crack?
I don't even remember, mate. Was it something about that? XG, maybe?
Oh, it was, yeah. We had
Jay, mute your mic, mate. I can hear loads of background noise.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to drop off because you lads are all right. And just join.
Sound. Yeah, I think it was just about the XG, mate. It's just really,
it was,
really...
yeah. Who's fucking cut him off?
Oh, he'll be fucking...
here.
Jabin, this... a fucking penis.
We had a comment there about the XG, Luke, where we were chatting, actually, like you mentioned, and I just wanted to... I was about to put it to you, actually, that... I wanted to kind of go, if our XG is 0.75, you know, whatever the case may be or whatever that is, our problem is once we get into the final third, we don't know what to do with it.
No, completely, mate. And look, playing the same formation in the second half when you're 1-0 down and you know that team's going to sit back with 11 men behind the ball, try and do you on the counter. It's criminal, mate. We just looked absolutely clueless. It makes me wonder. We know we're going to be controlling the majority of games because of the squad and the style of football we play, apart from, you know, your cities and other teams like that, when we're probably not going to control it. We know that we're going to be playing against often 11 men behind the ball or 10 men behind the ball or 9 men behind the ball. What are they doing in training? What are they doing to combat that and come up with new ideas? Because it looks so repetitive and just shit. Like, just shit.
Smarty, what did you think of it today? Like, you and Luke saw from a different perspective to myself. Like, I was at the game, but I like it's always different when you're watching it on the telly. Like, I understand that you're both, you know, see you next Tuesdays for watching it on the telly. Like, but what well, come on, I'm only having a laugh. But what was your opinion on it from your perspective where you were watching it from?
On a whole, same old, wasn't it, really? I think you guys have already pretty much covered it well enough. And like I say, you won't have to have a fleeting skim of the comments on Twitter to get a kind of paint a picture of what the whole fan base is saying the same thing. It was just not good enough. There's been quite a few comments about saying, you know, when Cooper changed it up to a five at the back, I think the skip in the comments had said the same thing. You know, it's we're just devoid of any sort of attacking, like, ideas. It's just, I think taking Rocker off were a big no-no as well. I don't get that. I don't get why he did that, because we just seem to lose it in the midfield then. there were nothing going for us, really. I just don't understand why. Luke's just hit it nail, you know, right on the head. Then, what are they doing in training? Because every team there or thereabouts, unless they're really a free, you know, freely attacking team like your Arsenals, your Man Cities, and all that sort of, you know, them sort of teams, they will attack us. But everyone else just sets up to defend against us, and it's just like we have no idea how to play against them. And we see it time and time and time and time again. And it's just like, I don't understand what he does with him. What is he doing with him in training?
Do you think it is it's a case that if it's not broken, don't fix it kind of scenario at Marsh at the moment, Luke?
Because it's fucking broken.
Yeah, but he doesn't seem to know it's broken. But he he's not seeing that. Like, so he's clearly saying if it's not broken, don't fix it. But we can all see that it's fucking broken. Like, this system is not working for us. So, Smarty, he has...
all over the fucking top. It's the constant one ball. It's like, fucking hell. I mean, we used to sit here, like, only a few months ago when it looked like Marsh were going to be probably out of, you know, I think a few of us hoped that it might be out of the door, and saying, oh, no, we can't possibly get Sean Dyche in because all he does is play the fucking long ball. That's all we seem to be doing. If we're in possession, we just, right, give it to Nonto and hopefully he can come up with something. That is what our attacking output is. Give it to Nonto and hopefully he'll find some fucker.
Yeah, and then Somerville came on today and it was exactly the same thing. It was like, all right, get the ball to Somerville. If we can't get the ball to Somerville, let's just switch it over to Nonto.
Like, we didn't actually play that much long ball today. I know it felt like we did a couple of times because of just they were almost hit to nobody. But it just felt really... We played with width, but really compact. So, like, we literally tried running down the fucking wings, but with four players on each wing. And it was just so easy to read for a defender. It's a defender's dream to see, as a centre-back, to see four attacking, threatening players out on the same wing. It's a dream because they know they've got nobody to defend against. There's nobody in the middle. Pat Bamford said in his post-match...
I was going to mention that.
Yeah, in his post-match, that he felt there was two defenders on him all the time. There was no other to help. There was nobody making runs off him to take anybody away from him ever.
Yeah.
So it was you're asking Patrick Bamford to score from or create chances from having two men on him however many minutes he played in the game. But yeah, it just frustrates the hell out of me. And look, I always try and take some positives out of it. And the only positives I've got is that we do look like the better side, but it's no good being the better side if you're not going to pick up points.
The commentators were saying the same, weren't it? You know, the better side are losing this game. And like you say, it's great having 70% of possession and lumping ball around and looking good. The turnover's good, but it's the final third. In fact, it's more than the final third, really. The final half. We're all right in our half. We can get the ball back, but as soon as we're going forward, we just fucking poor Bamford as well. He didn't get a sniff, really, did he? And anything it came near, usually we deflected or he miscontrolled or...
Well, the other thing now is, like, there's a comment there where Carol Turner's saying Bamford is trash again now that he has no competition for his place again. I think that's a very, very, very harsh comment.
Yeah.
Bamford, like Geldhard, before he went on loan against, say, Cardiff and whoever else he's come on against, he's feeding off scraps. He even said, like, without saying it directly, he said it in the interview after the game. He's feeding off scraps. And you can't play as a number nine like that. You can't be expecting the like you could put any other, like Henri in that front line. Henri plays off the last man. He played off the ball. He played for the ball in the channel. We're not doing any of that. So to say Bamford is trash again, I think that's a little harsh. I mean, he's in there on merit because obviously he's our number one striker, but he's also in there because Rodrigo's out at the moment. But Bamford's in there regardless, and I think he's trash because of anything.
I think that was harsh. I think he was poor today. I think his first touch a few times was poor, and I think we're basing that off that great touch against Accrington, you know, and it looked like the return, the resurrection of Paddy Bamford, you know. But
I question whether he did it by accident.
Yeah, but look, he wasn't great today, but he didn't have a lot to work with, and the things he did get to work with, he didn't do very well. So look, I don't think he's back to him being crap again. I think that's probably is probably a little bit harsh, but I think if we give him more options, and instead of the wingers, ironically, that stick to the touchline because we don't play with width, but they do. They don't come inside now, so they almost do the opposite now. And don't create that extra runner and take players away from Bamford, then he's going to look trash every game, and he's going to look worse and worse because he's going to have better defenders up against him than he has done today.
Yeah. Mark Jones has made a good comment here, and I'd like to elaborate on it a little bit. Thing is, give it to Nanto too much, he gets travel marked. What's happening to switching right to left and overlapping jobs? Fuckered. It's a great word at the end. I'd like what Mark's been saying. What's Mark said there is basically the way I'd be thinking is to try and make it look like we're playing it out that wide and start to overload a bit on Nanto's side, but have that option of the switch in behind their fullback, because they every team seems to do it to us, where they look where we're playing, they'll overload on one side, they'll drag every one of our players to one side, and then they'll play it over the top. Like, why can't we?
If you know that our only attacking threat is either Willie Nanto or Somerville when he comes on, you're going to be doubled up on that side anyway. They went to a five at back, did Forrest?
Yeah.
I'm not being funny, but if us numbskulls can see that, we're not professional footballers, we're not footballing people, we watch a team play fucking knock a bag of window down on a football pitch every weekend. There's professional analysts and stuff out there that go, well, this is Leeds' attacking threat. All right, well, we'll just do this and we'll do that and we'll nullify that. And that's exactly what Forrest did today. We were just fucking, it's like, ooh, you know.
But not only that, why not play with two up top today when you know they've got five at the back?
Yeah, yeah.
Why not have two up top, three behind, and just Adams? Mm. They've got five at the back. They've got one man up front. We've got fucking four defenders and Adams on the field. But not only that, he played McKenney in a double pivot today when he came on.
This is what I'm saying earlier on. That's what I was saying. Like, we're sacrificing an attacking player for having three players in there that do essentially, I'm not bringing it up just for the sake of it, but the three players doing the Phillips role, and we're sacrificing attacking players to have three players in there to do one player's job that we previously had. And that's not knocking any of the players that are in there. I think they're all quality players. But I think Adams or Rocca could do the job that Phillips did. I think either of them are very capable of doing that same job.
Adams hasn't got the passing range in his locker. Adams is more of a batty.
Yeah, the thing is, though, Phillips didn't have that passing in his locker until Bielsa came in. We never saw that kind of passing from Phillips prior to Bielsa. So who's to say that Adams doesn't have that in his locker with the right coaching?
Well, he's not going to get on the mash, is he?
No, but this is what I'm saying. Like, we're sacrificing an attacking player to play three players that we used to play one player in.
I understand why the three players are completely different, though. I mean, if we do go to a three-man midfield, the likelihood is in attack, McKenney will have a free roam box-to-box type role. Adams will sit, as will Rocca probably as well, a little bit deeper, or potentially one of them will sit a bit deeper than the other and plays a bit of a quarterback, probably Rocca, and Adams will be just sort of, he will stay back and break up play. So whilst you say we're playing three players in there, they've all got different qualities and can bring a lot more to it. But I appreciate what you're saying. But the argument we've got here is we were 1-0 down, and we knew they were playing the low block and playing deep, and the expectancy was that they weren't going to be doing a lot of attack in that second half. If it was, it was probably likely going to be a counter-attack, which was the only time that they threatened, really. It's just fucking so frustrating that we, like you say, Smite, we can see it, Cal. And somebody who's getting paid millions of pounds a year, can he see it? I think he can see it.
Maybe he can't even be ignorant to it. I think he's just ignorant to it.
I don't think he's even that. I just think he believes in his own methods he must know by now that it's not this. You know, the Premier League, teams, once they go 1-0 up, will just sit back. A team that's not expected to win, or a team that's, you know, under the caution and on balance, probably not, you know, probably not favourites to win. I mean, after the first 15, 20 minutes, I thought we were going to hammer.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalised plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'll be honest.
He keeps banging on about them being together in the moment and this, that, and the other and fucking blah, blah, blah. It's the same old bullshit every single week. And nothing changes. He doesn't even change because he's repetitive with the same old shit. He comes out in his post and pre-match conferences. He's boring.
Do you think Smarty, is he starting to believe his own bullshit? Like,
I think he's been fully believing of his own bullshit from day one, mate.
Yeah. You know,
where credit's due, you can't knock the guy for belief in his own systems, in his own, you know, in his own belief and all that sort of stuff. Fair play to him. But the rest of us aren't monks. You know, there's a few of us that have been around for quite some time and have seen all sorts of different managers here, there and everywhere, and also watch the football. And when you can, you know, quite honestly, hand on heart, say, this is shit, this is not working, then surely the dipsticks at the frigging top, the board must be thinking, Bielsa was sacked for, you know, we're in a similar sort of state now as we were last season.
Yeah.
They got rid of him. And he had a hell of a lot more credit in the bank than Marsh.
And worse players.
So, you know, I genuinely think after the two Scum games, I think that he'll be gone. I hope he'll be gone.
What happens then, Smart, if we somehow pick up a shock result out of one of those two games? That's just going to keep him here for a moment.
Like, the thing is,
it will do. That's the thing. It will, but it can't.
We want to be getting points. We're in a position now where we need points and we need wins. On the other hand, this is my biggest concern about changing. You know where we are and everything as well. It's a hell of a lot to change at a stage of a season, and it is a big risk. But ultimately, if he does pick up points moving forward, then what? Do you know, we've got to. I don't know what to do.
But like I said previously, Luke, I was like, the game against Bournemouth and the game against Liverpool, that's a plaster on a cut that needs stitches. That's like he's literally putting a plaster on what needs to be fixed, where that's not going to be the case. Like we need to get a manager in that's going to utilize the players that we've got. Like, granted, they've backed them, grand. And everyone's kind of going, well, they're not going to sack him because they brought this new assistant manager in. But at the same time, you don't want to see the club go down, because for the 49ers, it loses market value.
The manager, because he's brought a pal in on his team. Fucking hell. I know what you're saying, but I've seen some right shark getting put on Twitter. I just think, fucking have a day off, man.
Christ, yeah, but that's the other thing as well. It's like the guy that we brought in that was a furniture salesman as our fucking chief scout there for a while under Cellino. You know, I'm not saying that it's on the same level, but Jesus Christ, it's nearly there. Like, with the way we're playing and the results we're getting, it's not far off that kind of appointment. Like,
cooks lemons and oranges into nice little, you know, styled triangles or something.
I'd like to hope he does something entertaining like that, because like it's not working at the moment for me. It's not. And I'm very worried that if we get a positive result in the next two games is one draw and a loss. And I'm afraid that that's going to be enough for him to keep his job. And that's what worries me. I don't want us to lose either of these games. I don't. I want to see the team get better and progress and put it up there. Like,
for me, Carl, I think we have got better. I think we have addressed issues and things that weren't working, and we have progressed, and we do seem to be getting to a stage, but we're just not getting the results for me. And ultimately, that's what matters. But when you look back and early on in the season, we're all saying, look, we can't defend for
phone dead.
Yeah.
I think his phone's dead. Oh, it's there.
A bloody phone call coming in from my dad. The progression's there. Like, we've seen things change that are for the better. What we haven't seen is stuff change drastically when it needs to change during a game. You know, it's almost like
he's a popular dude tonight. Popular.
I'm gonna ring him again.
Some people just don't get the message, do they? Yeah, it's just for me. I think what they must be doing in training must be all right. It must be, and the things they're working on, because things have improved and we've tightened it up and things. Still making stupid, silly errors and mistakes, and he still picks Pascal, even though.
What a well taken goal though, that today.
It won half, mate. Yeah, it won half.
It won a proper individual error, were it? Verber has chewed up that defence somewhere else. In fact, I saw him telling Cooper what to do on a couple of occasions today on Telebox.
Yeah.
You know, we're telling Cooper, he was pointing to Cooper to tell him to get into positions and stuff. I think he's a massively. He's a massive addition to our team.
But is that Warber?
If Bielsa were in charge now, I'd be fearing for a 7-8-0 absolute dickhead against fucking Scum. Whereas I don't go into a game now thinking that we're going to get pumped, but I just go into a game thinking we're probably going to play all right but not score any goals.
What do you make of that one from well, Skip there, Smarty?
Oh, yeah, Christ.
Yeah, do you think is that a massive worry for Sunday?
Like, I'm not worried. I'm
worried for the sake of the players on the pitch, because I think what's happening at the moment isn't down to them. I think it's more down to the tactics that they're being asked to play. And I don't know,
Carl. We had enough chances today, mate, that we should have buried one. Ailing, Nonto, Sinisterra had a couple. We should have scored
first 20 minutes or whatever, where we absolutely smashed it straight out of the bar. I thought, fuck me.
You know,
he doesn't look the same player, does he, Sinisterra?
Is there not a bit of panic in the way we're trying to finish? Yeah, that's what I'm... But there's also, it seems like, panic. It's like someone's been told to just grab the game by the horns, you know what I mean, and have a pop, and blah, blah, blah. But there doesn't seem to be any kind of, it doesn't seem to be, you know, it's like you're just having a shot for the sake of having a shot, or you're trying to put it away for the sake of it. Like, you know, it's not like it's an opportunity that you can look back on and go, fucking hell, if I'd have only kind of side-footed that rather than... They don't seem to have the confidence in themselves to be able to finish these chances off. And like, I'm taking away from the tactics, but they have a lot to do with how they're feeling.
That comes with form, mate. I've banged this drum for ages. It's hard to get out of any form. If you're in winning form and winning all the time, it's hard to lose. And when you're losing, it is confidence, mate. I'm sure of it. But ultimately, we don't have enough time for he's clearly not making them. There's something wrong somewhere. There's a cog somewhere that's just not turning. That's resulting in the reason we're not picking up any points and enough points. And it's doing my fucking head in now, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, I think it's doing a lot of our heads in now, to be honest, Luke. Man, it's something that needs to be addressed, and it's something that needs to be kind of looked at if he's going to stay in charge. I think he's got a lot of people behind him who, you know, according to the sources or whatever, know how he likes to play and whatever. Surely they're not blind to the fact that what he's asking them to coach the players doing isn't working. You know, like there's coaches in there now that have a reputation to try and build for themselves. And if what's happening on the pitch for Leeds at the moment isn't working, their coaches that are implementing that, is that going to have a knock-on effect on how they're doing it if they're not confident enough in what Jesse's trying to put across?
The thing is, Cal, I think they believe in him. I think they play for him. They run their asses off. There's no denying that. You know, they do what he's telling them well, and I think they believe in that. But they just there's something just not clicking, and we don't seem even when we control. I mean, I think we had about 70% ish. I can't remember 65-70% possession today, but 65-70% possession and not scoring a goal in a game is not good enough.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Like, so is the tactics
void of options going up front? Just no attacking prowess at all. Give it to Nonto, give it to someone who's a bit tricky and see if we can rumble his way through a load of players and see if we can stick it in from 5 yards away. I can't remember last time some fucker had a shot from outside the box, genuinely. And it's like they can't do it if I'm doing it.
But does that not go back to what I was just saying there, where the tactics are so bad that the players don't have confidence in themselves to finish off at their own dinner? Like, the thing...
Footballers, man. Fucking hell.
Yeah, but the thing is, man, like, no, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. And I like, to a certain point, I agree. But if a player doesn't believe in the tactics that they're being asked to implement, then that's going to have a knock-on effect on their confidence when they're in certain positions that they can enhance our movement forward, or they can have a shot. They're always going to doubt themselves. If the fucking players don't enjoy what they're doing in the build-up, or they don't feel that it's working, that's going to have a knock-on effect psychologically and confidence-wise on them when they get to that final third. But they're not. They're clearly not.
Well, Luke just said they are, and you're saying they're not.
I don't think they are. I think they're so... Like Bamford's interview today on the BBC, like he was like short of saying what we're doing is shit and I'm not getting the opportunities and I'm made look shit because of the way we're playing. Short of saying that today in that BBC interview, I don't know what to think after that. He like, to me, that was him coming out going, it's just not working. Without saying it, he was like, it's not working. We need to sort it out.
There have been reports of players questioning the tactics and stuff already, haven't they?
Yeah, but did that for else as well, didn't he?
He's even said that in an interview that he did in that Philadelphia managers do hoo-ha, or whatever you want to call it. He's already admitted it and said that some players have already questioned the tactics with regards to how they're setting up for games and this kind of thing. So if there's even an element of doubt, that's not being united, is it? That's not being, a group that's, you know, 100% behind the manager.
They're going through the motions. They're doing what he wants, but what he wants isn't good enough to get us where we need to be. And they're doing what he wants, but it's going through the motions. That's not how they should play. That's not how any professional sports person should look at how they're going to do their job, is just going through the motions. And to me, it seems that's what's happening.
This kind of comment on Twitter, right? And this isn't a dig at you, Diggler. Putting that somewhere. It's not down to us to find a manager. You know, Arthur's got 15,000 names in a little black book that he keeps under his desk. That he should, you know, he's got thousands of frigging names on spreadsheets and tactics and stats on spreadsheets and stuff like that. He should have about 5 managers lined up already. If he had Bielsa's, apparently it was March. If he had Bielsa's next manager, his successor lined up for a few years before Bielsa actually left, then he should, by that, have someone else lined up to take Jesse's job.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I think, I don't know if I've said it before, but I think this might make the board and the 49ers realise that, you know, Jesse might be the man before the man. We need to find somebody who's better than Jesse.
Yeah.
I don't think. I think.
What else could Jesse Marsh?
Well, exactly. Yeah, I think he should be. I still think he should be making more bigger decisions during a game when we're behind. I don't. I've never seen him play 2 up front.
No.
Yeah.
But what if he's subbed? he'd be so, you know, 100% believed in his tactics and the way that.
Didn't he play the 4-2-2-2 penis at the start, and we all hated it?
Still playing that at intermittent bits, like he's still playing it. Like as soon as we get it wide and we come back in, we're playing the penis formation.
That we should get more chance of playing frigging platted piss, like. But you know, that's what we should get.
Who? Poch?
Yeah,
that should have been who we got after we fired Marcelo.
No chance. We've absolutely no chance, have we?
But no, it's not. But that's like, if we're willing to spend the money to get Marcelo in, then get a manager in, like Villa did. They went out. I know they had a shit result yesterday, but they've gone out and they've got an actual proven manager. They're not far ahead of us in terms of development. They have a year ahead of us in terms of development. That's all they have. That's all that they were up in the Premier League a year before we were, Luke. They have a year of development in the Premier League.
They also didn't have 16 years out, though.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They came.
They've got a lot more money than us as well, Carl, to be fair. I mean, they're not just a year in front of us in terms of development. Absolutely.
Well, look, they've gone out and found a proven manager. And to be honest with you, I think if we're going to do it, and we need to do it before the end of the season, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, see, I'm still very. I honestly don't know. I think we're playing all right, and the stuff that's, you know, the only thing for me is the points. If we won today, you couldn't argue that we could probably shouldn't have won today. We probably should have won today, shouldn't we? Based on the chances we had and that, compared to theirs.
Yeah, but we can't sit here every week and say the same thing, Luke.
No, I'm not. That's exactly what I'm saying. We can't be in this position, because that's exactly what I'm saying. The points are on the board is what's important.
Mm.
But you couldn't argue against us winning that game today. As we say, probably, as we said for a lot of games this season, that we have lost and drawn and lost drop points on. So I truly believe it's a massive confidence thing. There's one or two things that need to change. I don't think he's got it. I don't think he's got the time in him, and I don't think he's got it in him to do that, to make those changes, though. I don't know. And
if we'd have scored first in that game today, would have absolutely butt-fucked that.
Yeah, because they'd have come at us, and that's who we suit. We suit teams who play football.
Yeah.
Low block.
That's what needs addressing more than anything.
Somebody puts eight players behind the ball, and we just get clueless.
With that in mind, Luke, what you're saying is, like Smarty said, if we'd have got the first goal, we'd have absolutely horse-fucked them today. Like, but when we didn't get that first goal, we didn't change anything about the way we played.
No.
We didn't change one fucking thing, and that's what cost us today. There was no ulterior way of playing when it didn't work the first time.
These players,
and that's
the
every
perfect
game.
I'm not going to change the tactics. I'm just going to change the personnel, and these people are going to do exactly the same as what people they're replacing them with.
But you're like, that's useless, like.
Yeah, Mark, I'm saying she's fucking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pointless, like.
Obviously, it's turning a little bit toxic. There was some chance for Jesse out, which to be expected. There was even that Villa earlier on in the season, and then obviously, I don't know if you've seen the video as well of the fans could feel. I mean, you don't know what it's about. It could be about anything, but it's clearly a bit.
When they were kicking off in stands or kicking off outside.
Fighting with each other, and then obviously outside the ground as well, when they were all throwing railings around and stuff like that. So
I didn't see any of that, no.
It's clearly getting to a point where the fans are getting angry, and once you lose the fans, mate, especially the away support, it's very difficult to come back from.
The away support's usually a catalyst for what happens at home, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's literally the first run on the ladder to dooming it. If you've got fans fighting in stands away, and then it's only going to get toxic, because you will still have people that are marching, which is fine. That's down to your opinion, you know, it's your opinion or whatever. And then you will have
marching.
I'm guessing. No, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying there will be people that are marching, and there will be quite vociferous in the stands, and then there'll be I'm guessing the vast majority of people now are probably marsh out, and they will also be vociferous, and then those two people meeting in the middle, they'll be at each other's throats, and that's how it starts. You know,
yeah.
Someone will be booing, and someone will tell them to stop booing, and they'll tell them to get fucked, and then that'll be it. We'll be scrapping.
It's not a nice situation, is it? We claim to be the best support in the land, and that, and you know, I mean, I never agree with booing players, coaches, anything, anyway. I mean, it's not something I'd ever do, but we're all entitled to our opinion. We've all paid the same amount to go watch Leeds United in the stadium, yeah. Ultimately. And look, yeah, you're quite right. It's very much a barometer. The away support is very much a good barometer of how the fans are feeling on as a whole. So, be interesting to see what goes on. I'm sure there's conversations being had at the minute. So we'll, you know, my thoughts. He doesn't get sacked. I don't think they sack him. I just don't. I can't see why they'd invest bringing him his players in and everything, but. He must know something's got to give and something's got to change massively, drastically, and we've got to, you know, got to start picking up fucking points.
I think just before we finish up, lads. Obviously, but we've had two streams tonight. But just before we finish up, it's just the next two games. Right, I'll give you a scenario. We get a point out of the next two games. If we get a point out of the next two games, but that point is at Elland Road, do you think Jesse is safe?
I don't think he should be, no. But I think he probably is.
Yeah, okay. And you're straight up out the fucking door, Smarty, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Because he talks fucking shite, man. It's like before in the press, beforehand, he said, "Oh, I think we've turned the corner. We're ready. We're there now. You know, we're there. The team's there. We're ready to go." It's taken me forever to get them to where I want them to be. And then tonight, he said, "Oh, we've got to keep working, and we're not quite there yet." It's like, "Fuck you, you stupid wanker."
Yeah.
Just fuck it. Just fuck off. I've genuinely had enough of the bullshit. As soon as I saw that tonight, I just thought, "You know what, mate? You need to fuck right off." Because he's such an hypocrite.
It's the shite talk at the end of every game that is kind of getting to a lot of people. Well, me personally, like I can't listen to his interviews now anymore because I just know it's going to be regurgitating the same shite in press conferences and after games. I can't listen to it anymore. Like I genuinely can't. All I go off now is what stats might put in the group or Phil Hay or whatever the case may be. That's all I go off.
Yeah, I can't listen to it. When some of the journalists will comment, as the talking, whether Phil Hay does it, you know, I don't actually physically watch the conferences because I just cannot listen to that fucking shit that it comes out with.
This is the thing here as well. Tommy G said Leeds fans can see through his bullshit. I think Jesse underestimates the fact that we can actually see through what he's saying. And it's not like we're as Leeds fans, we're a bit long in the tooth now to be putting up with the same fucking bullshit that we've been put up with for the, you know, 15 years prior to getting Bielsa in and getting promoted. I'm not saying Bielsa's the answer, whatever the case may be. All I'm saying is we can see through the bullshit. We've been through enough of it. It's like if you've got a bird who is constantly being narcissistic with you, you can see through it at a certain point. That's how it is. And if he carries on saying the same shit, he's going to get chased around. He's going to get chased around the fucking car park in whatever car he's drove down the road in. He's not going to be allowed out. If he carries on talking shite like that, then there's no
other option. Like hearing it. He talks an absolute load of twaddle and all. He needs bloody Prima. In the programs, talks to us like we're absolute dipsticks.
Yeah,
you know, you've got idiots.
We're in a bit of a predicament, aren't we? Because we want points and we want wins, but ultimately we want improvement as well. I think he's had enough chance. I think he's had enough chance to improve us, and I think he has improved us. I think we have got better as the season's gone on, but we're still not picking up the points. For me, regardless of the scum games, because they won't be expecting much for them anyway, I think they should be looking at replacements. I just don't think they will. And I mean, if he was to win one of those, what, you know, does that just prolong you know, then do we go into Everton and Southampton? And, you know, the chances are probably not get up and get much against them. So it's just, it's just
we'll end up horrible... with. We'll end up with Brad Bobley off Soccer AM at this rate.
Bob Bradley, you mean?
No, no, Bob Bradley's the actual coach. Brad Bobley is the fucking gimmick on Soccer AM, isn't
he? We'll probably get Alexi fucking Lalas the way we're fucking going at the moment. Like, you know what I mean? Jesus Christ. Look, lads, at the end of the day, look, we've got two tough games coming up on Wednesday and Sunday this week. And... This will, for me, this should determine Jesse's future these next two games. Today is one of the three games that should have determined his future. After this week, I'm not sure there's anyone that's going to be behind him if there isn't a positive result in either game. And I'm stretching to a point being a positive result out of the next two games, a point. That's a positive result because we haven't been able to get a win, so we don't know what a fucking actual positive result is for a while here now.
We like the players, we just don't like the coach.
Hmm. He won't. What did that say? He won't go.
No,
Leeds fans was loving. No, look, the USA is great. Like, don't get me wrong, but Jesus Christ, Jesse isn't speaking for the whole of the USA now at the moment. I'm not going to lie. Prolongs the agony from Paul Brennan. Even if he gets some points out of these three next matches, he isn't the man to take Leeds United forward. This is.
I'd agree with that. Yeah? I think he's shown enough to prove that he's not the right man to take us forward. Mm. However,
we've had this before Christmas.
Yeah. However, I don't want to see a manager merry-go-round. I sometimes think. Because of this, we are playing all right, that the results will come. And I know I've said that now for fucking I don't know how long, but I just don't know. Fuck it, I'm done. I didn't need it with today's.
You should have got rid of him before Christmas or after Christmas. He saved his skin by beating Liverpool and picking up a couple of points, that Bournemouth game and all that sort. But he should have gone. He's way outstayed his welcome, and he definitely should be shipped along now.
The thing was,
thanks for keeping us up last season, but off you fuck, son. Let someone who knows what they're doing come in and help us out. Cheers.
You see, what they probably should have done was said, right, Jesse, appreciate you getting those results there before the World Cup. We can see that it clearly isn't working. We've got 6 weeks and we need to get someone else in to work with the players for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Because, and what an opportunity that would have been.
Oh, for fuck's sake, could you imagine?
Hindsight's a wonderful thing. We were all buzzing after those two performances. Let's not lie.
That's fine. But I'll fucking go find it. I still say they should be sacked, and we should still get another manager in. And I've got tweets to back it up. I've got all sorts of shit I can back up. We should have got rid of him at the end of the. Like Carl says, cheers for your efforts, fella. Off your pop. We'll get someone who knows what they're doing in. Give him the opportunity of a complete, you know, the World Cup and a complete brand new transfer window for him to get his players in and have some sort of influence on the team. And then we'd have been starting from scratch. And I guarantee we'd have been in a much better place than we are now. But now, after the fucking window's closed and we've got no time for him to actually, you know, impose any of his own tactics or anything like that, we're going to have to fucking scrape the bottom of the barrel. Because no fucker's going to want to come in now, are they really? Anyone of any sort of name is not going to want to come in now. And we're in the relegation battle and pick up our sorry asses off the bottom of the frigging league. It's an absolute
I think what you're saying is half right, Marty. I think the squad we have and the players we have now, any manager worth their fucking salt would jump at us now. With them players and the squad we currently have, with the right tactics, any manager worth his salt would jump at our job. They if they're any good and they had any backbone and they had any kind of nounce about them, they would be asking for that job. I don't think it's a case that we can't get any type of manager. I think we can get whatever type of fucking manager we want because we literally have the squad to be challenging for a top 10 spot. At the moment, after January...
That's not what a lot of managers want, Carl. I'll be honest with you, mate. The top managers want to be playing in Europe.
Bielsa was a top manager. took a fucking serious nosedive to the championship. Let's be honest. Did you know who he was
before we signed him?
Yeah, I knew who he was. Everyone knew who he was from his football manager, Bielsa Press. Everyone knew.
I remember him being in charge of Argentina. I do remember. But as far as anything else, not a fucking club.
But the thing is, you're not getting us as a championship side. You're getting us as a Premier League side.
For now,
but you get the manager in. We're still a Premier League side.
What happens if the manager comes in, doesn't change anything? Let's play devil's advocate here, Carl. What happens if they come in, it doesn't work, they then have a relegation on their record? It's not that easy. We're not the draw we think we are. We need to be a bit more realistic.
I totally understand that, yeah. But do you think any other manager can't get a more of a tune out of these players than Jesse is?
I'm sure there is. There will be somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is.
And we're still a Premier League club. We're still a Premier League proposition for any manager coming in. Imagine being the manager that comes in, like Jesse last year.
We've got 18 games left. That's a fucking long time. That's more than what Marsh had.
Yeah.
Marsh had 12 games to go. Well, not really turned round because we kind of still festered down there and we escaped by the skin of his teeth. But we don't really want to be, you know, getting his ass tickled by fire again, do we? We want to be cracking on now. We've got the team. We've got the fucking fans. The fans will never, you know, won't go anywhere. They'll still back the club. So we need someone to come in now, steady the ship, and start playing proper football, not this stupid penis formation bullshit that we're getting served up on a weekly basis. It's just fucking enough. And I don't really have else to say at this moment in time. I could cry. If I tonight go for a fucking hop on a skipper down the M62, who fancies?
I've sent my application in this week, Luke. Yeah. I'll tweet back soon.
And Luke, don't get me wrong, man. That's not me having a go at your opinion there, man, when I say whatever I was saying there. Like, I just think any manager worth their salt.
Oh, God. I was waiting for that one. Fucking hell. No,
all right. Thanks, Vincent. It's time to end the podcast.
on that note.
But I think any manager worth their salt should be coming in and taking that on board and be like, yeah, this is an easy fix because I see the players that we have there, and the players that we have there are very, very, very much capable of keeping us up, if not finishing 12th to 10th, in my opinion. Any manager that has any ounce of ability about them should be able to do that. Get off, Tommy.
No, Tommy,
that's not going to happen. I think that's the way it goes. Now, I'll be honest with you. Here's an old skew ball for you just before we finish up. I take Vincent company and pay Burnley whatever it takes to get him back. Have you fucking seen what he's doing at Burnley? He's doing all right.
They've got the best team in the league by a country mile, though.
Yeah, but we've got a better squad than them. Imagine getting him in.
We're playing against better opposition as well, isn't it? It's one of them, isn't it? Speculate as much as you want.
Yeah. Well, look, lads, we'll leave it there for tonight. I appreciate you jumping on. And, Smarty, thanks for getting that second broadcast set up real
quick. Oh, yeah, cheers, Dad. Sorry about that.
I'm in the first one as well, Smarty.
Yeah. Anyway, look, I hope everyone's enjoyed the boat podcast tonight. It's been a good old chat, and it's been good crack to be able to get everyone's kind of opinions on it. We'll see what happens after Wednesday night. Not sure. I think it might be Thursday evening before we have the BNC for after Man United on Wednesday. So look, just keep an eye out on the pod. Obviously, like, subscribe, share, ring that bell type thing so you know when we're on board and whatnot. And we'll catch you again later. Take care, lads. Thanks a million.
See you on Tuesday.
Yeah. See you in a bit.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke after-match podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.